Good evening. You're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio at Round Mountain in Bella Vista. This is Jim Dowling, host of Write Stuff, that show where I bring in writers from the local community, all kinds of writers, poets, novelists, songwriters, and today my very special guest is Michelle Small. Michelle is a local poet. Thank you so much for coming in, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and today we're going to be listening to some of his delightful poetry, poems about nature and love, possibly. What do you have in store for us today?
Well, I've written a book of love poetry, and it's published. And right now I'm working on a book of poems that has to do with nature, either directly about nature or using imagery from nature, divided into the seasons. So I have a spring, summer, fall, and winter section in the book.
Okay. Well, I've sampled some of that over the years. You've been reading poetry here in the Reading area for quite a while. I've heard you read at the Bohemian Loft years back, maybe 10 years ago, and just lately at the Oddfellows Hall, Viva Downtown. I think that's the third Wednesday of the month. Mm-hmm. You are a regular participant.
I'm a regular participant in any open mic I'm aware of. Yeah. Sometimes I'm even invited.
Okay. Yeah, well, beautiful poetry. Why don't we kick things off with something that you've written and tell us a little bit about the poem.
Well, I'll start with a poem from the spring section of my book. This first one, the first one is entitled March. And it has to do with something that happened to me on a walk along the river trail. And it describes it. March. Sun and heat surprised us from long gray months of dreamless torpor. We squeezed into shorts, jogged along a river trail. Bones creaked, muscles loosened, poppies stretched golden palms to the sun. Fresh greens burst from stark and naked oaks. Color dripped from every stem and branch. White blossoms, lavenders, and blues, even from weeds, tiny purples hung like bells. Just as we found our stride, caught in the riot of spring, and began to dance with it, clouds gathered over western hills. Poppy petals closed, clouds thickened and tumbled over, driven by March winds. Blossoms trembled from trees. Miles from the end of the trail, we shivered in a sudden winter and folded ourselves into our homes, always asynchronous in the odd California rhythm of drowsy lethargy and sudden change. Here, March is the cruelest month, fickle, reminding us of the dream of California, as inconsequential and riveting as a single lavender blossom quavering in the wind.
Some beautiful lines in there, dancing with the riot of spring. That sticks in my mind. Beautiful line.
Well, thank you.
Not exactly the way you wrote it, but most of it. So where does a poem like that come from?
Where did that particular poem come from?
Yes.
It came from a walk. I get ideas. I used to get most of my ideas walking.
Yeah.
And I discovered long ago, when I was looking for ideas of poetry, I couldn't force poetry out of myself, but that if I took a walk, my mind for the first 15 minutes was just racing ideas, with unimportant things.
Sure.
But my mind wouldn't stop going. But after 15, 20 minutes walking, ideas would sometimes come for poems.
Yeah.
And I just developed a kind of faith in that.
Sure.
And the faith mattered. Now, ideas didn't always come, but they often did.
Yeah.
And that was my typical process for getting ideas. I got ideas in other ways sometimes, too.
Sure. Well, it works. So you have poems that cover the seasons. That's how you've organized this book. Let's not waste any time. Let's hear another one.
Well, here's another one from spring. Egret. And I was kind of experimenting with form on this one, which won't come through at reading aloud for the radio, but in any case, Against tall green reeds, below cloudless blue sky, scarcely moving in whisper of a breeze, a still figure, pure delineated white, but for a yellow beak, black Giacometti legs, an eye of a needle eyes, silence of a hunter, intent in the quiet of the moment, barely rippled image in water. What Modigliani of the pond feathered that long curve from the tip of beak down the neck to the body, shaped like a question without answer? It seems meant for stillness, neck a mutation in the direction of elegance, not evolved for fishing, but fish provided for sustenance, evolution's obeisance to beauty in nature.
Oh, that's very nice. If that poem tells me anything, it's that you're extremely observant. I take pictures of egrets. I do some wildlife photography, and you have described the egret, its personality and its look and elegance beautifully.
Well, that day it was just stunning. It was just a stunning image. It arrested me. I think that was the time I was on the Lima Ranch trails, and there was an egret on the pond, completely still.
Yeah, beautiful. Wow. So a little bit of background. You have been an English instructor. I believe you taught at Barron's College, part of Penn State.
Yes.
Oh, well, you're an instructor at Shasta College. Are you still teaching out there?
No, I retired last spring.
Are you enjoying it?
I've been teaching since 1981 at Shasta College.
Sure.
I taught for 10 years at Penn State before that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, how's retirement treating you?
I like retirement.
Yeah, lots of
really
time.
I enjoy it.
More time for writing?
There's more time for writing. And this is such a wonderful area for getting ideas. I mean, I do miss the ocean. I have a fair number of poems about the ocean. But apart from that, there couldn't be a nicer place for writing about nature.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we dive into another one? Anything you want to read is fine with me. These are all wonderful poems.
Well, I'll read one about El Nino. I wrote this some years ago when we had an El Nino. We had a lot of rain, as we've had the last couple of years. So, in any case, El Nino. Many grow cranky after months of rain, complain of worsened moods, of houses perched like fragile dreams on tips of muddy cliffs, some already splintered on rocks below, of mother and child swept into swollen streams, or less dire nightmares of drowned animals, lost crops, failed businesses. But even sunny days have their nightmares, and if warm January and cool May disturb expectations, giving those who worry about drought more of what they wish than they wish, the boy child also provides endless variation. Thick iron and charcoal grays of storm clouds pressing to earth, torn by sudden flashes, until rain passes, when the tireless hands of breeze and wind, inventive and insatiable, sculpt cumulus into shifting white shapes, puffs and columns and mounds, sun sometimes edging them in bright silvers, sometimes not, or shining on cirrus clouds so high and delicate they seem like silk banners lining the way to heaven. Meanwhile, water streams down luscious hills, swelling old streams, carving new ones, then fills rivers, flows over banks. On these endless rainy days, paths winding in woods and by rivers and lakes are not for promenaders, but for lovers of solitude, who walk through the long winter and become experts in rain, aficionados of shifting clouds, and revel in the immense variety of things that do not obey our wishes.
Oh, wow. I love the imagery. Please tell me that these poems don't come to you spontaneously, that there is some work involved.
No, there's work involved. As a matter of fact, every time I look at the poems I've written, I think of something to change. I mean, poems I've written years ago. And usually it's little things, because the main idea of the poem usually comes to me at once, but there's an awful lot of tinkering that's involved. And in some cases, replacing, eliminating things. Most of my editing process actually involved deletions because often I describe too much.
Okay. So. Can you go back and revisit a poem you wrote 10 years ago and still get into that frame of mind, whatever it was that inspired you to that original poem?
Well, I'll read one that we talked about earlier.
Okay.
It's Sierra Morning.
Oh, Sierra Morning.
Yeah.
I stumbled on that in one of your publications.
Sulphur River Review.
Sulphur Review.
Here it is.
Great poem. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Sierra Morning. And actually, this came to me as a result. I was camping. It was near the end of my first marriage. And it was a difficult time for both of us. And I was thinking about tenderness. You know.
Sure.
But in any case, Sierra Morning. Shadows recede and shift in trees by the water. Early fire burns to embers. Beneath a hammock stretched between two pines, decades of needles decay to the softness of an old quilt. A book forgotten in my lap, before me granite shores, small beaches, and a lake bluer than thoughts wish to go. The day is tender, like a mother calling, "Come into the water, you want to be here, it's safe, I'll never let you go." Or like a child stroking a bird's wing, now mended, who could not let go the bird, could not let go the child, prisoners of wound and tenderness. Or like silken threads of sweet memory weaving a shroud around me. The day warms to drugging heat, my book grows heavy. Even mosquitoes have settled back into festering little swamps. The great bird must fly, or die the death of hammocks slowly twisting like a web into a warm summer evening.
Wow.
It's a sad poem.
Well, you know, when you gave it a little bit of background information, it gave me a new perspective on it. I can see the sensitive part of this poem.
Well, yeah, that was the background. I was thinking about tenderness and the way in which tenderness, which is, you know, obviously a virtue in many, many ways, but it can also be a trap. That's tough to let go of tenderness.
Sure.
You know, so.
Well, a lot of sentiment packed into that poem. Okay, how about another one, and then we'll do a little station break.
Okay. Winter Walk in California. Reds and golds have gone their inevitable way, would have gone without drenching rains, stripping leaves from trees, blackening bark. The river sludges south against the last salmon dying their way upstream. Browns and yellows line the shores like shredded wallpaper in an abandoned room. Along the path, shriveled blackberries droop almost to earth, and the pale ghost of a pine, bark stripped, lies among dark branches shattered in the fall. I love it. Wind and rain have swept away other walkers, relieved all obligation to monosyllabic greeting, perfunctory nod, or barely polite grunt. Nothing now to interrupt the passions of California winter, where gnarled knuckles of lava rock grip the river's banks, streams rush in foaming leaps down hills, and where tumbling rocks have slashed a new surface, wet coppery greenstone glows rough emerald. Afternoon has gentler moments also. Between fingers, I roll pink manzanita buds and red toyon berries, surprises of January color. On a bridge over the river, I watch rain puff, ripple, and disappear into the current. A pair of Canada geese skim swiftly over water and sweep around the next bend, diminuendo of honking calls and replies, echoing back along their flight. In this desert of whistling, raining winter, I stroll, wet, cold, and deliciously alone.
Wow, that brings back memories. You wouldn't have been hiking Battle Creek by any chance, would you?
No, I was probably on the river trail because of the Canada geese and the image of drops of water hitting the river I got from the bridge, from the river
bridge. Oh, okay, okay.
And I saw the Canada geese going down.
Now, is this line correct? Gnarled knuckles of volcanic rock?
Lava rock.
Yeah. I just love that line. Yeah. It's great. Nice job.
Thank you.
Okay, you are listening to KKRN, a listener-supported radio, 88.5 FM on the dial, and this is Jim Dowling, host of Right Stuff. My guest today is Michelle Small, who is I'm honored to have here in the studio reading poetry for us. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, Michelle, you just go ahead and pick anything you want to read. Fall or winter, you pick.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll pick this first one. It's a very narrative poem. I grew up in San Francisco. Our house was just a block and a half from the ocean. So I spent a lot of time at Ocean Beach with my brother and sisters and so forth. So this is a poem about Ocean Beach and what it meant to us as kids. Summer, Ocean Beach. Summers we would walk, sun or fog, 2 blocks to the beach. My brother would climb the seawall, and from behind a dune, I rat-tat-tatted with 2 fingers. He tumbled 5 or 6 feet to the sand, rolling over and over in one of the elaborate deaths of boyhood. Then it would be my turn. When we found a third, we'd play rundown, stealing bases in warm sand, where we practiced slides, hooks, straight in, or head first, until sweat stuck sand over our bodies. Sometimes we buried each other, digging holes down to where we could feel moisture, until only our heads showed. On hot days, this cooled us. On cool days, warmed us. When restless bodies could stand no more, we would burst up like startled mummies and shake moist sand from us. Even in the water, sand was with us. It would massage our feet, our toes, as we shuffled out to waves. When we turned to ride one in, sand would rise with us and whirl and flail us in roiling foam all the way to shore. After our dives and tumbles, we knew to scrape sand carefully from eyelids and brows, to open eyes slowly, and not to rub if we missed a grain. Before returning home, we turned socks inside out, knocked and shook our shoes. Even then, after showering, in the middle of the night, we'd find a stubborn grain or two in our hair. We lived in a timeless world at the beach, and sand was the element of our summers. We loved it as children do, adoring it no more than the air we breathed.
Mm-hmm. You bring back childhood in that one. So you used to body surf at Ocean Beach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not easy because the waves weren't always good for that. But we body surfed before we could swim.
Yeah.
Because swimming's no good. Ocean Beach, the undertow is so bad. People got in trouble with people who knew how to swim. And
you didn't use wetsuits either.
No.
It was pretty chilly.
It was cold, but we were kids.
Yeah. Well, it comes back in that poem. That's a beautiful poem. How long have you been writing poetry?
Well, I started writing seriously about a little over 30 years ago. I started trying to produce at least a couple every month.
Yeah. And before that, you tried on and off?
Off and on, I wrote poems. I was too intimidated by the poems I taught. The poems I taught were so great, Keats or Shakespeare or Frost or whatever, that I thought, why do I bother trying?
What changed for you?
I stopped thinking about the audience for Shakespeare and Frost and so forth, and started writing to people I knew.
Sure.
About people I knew and to people I knew, meals we ate. I'm thinking of a third book where I'll collect all these other poems, that some of which I think I almost prefer over a lot of these, and they're fun to read aloud. But anyway, yes, I stopped worrying about having accepted publications or whatever.
Sure.
Matter of fact, I haven't really sent out that many because I'm not fond of rejection. If you write poems, you submit poems, you get used to rejection. I think I heard a story that Sylvia Plath was rejected over 80 times before she published a poem.
Yeah, I believe it. That's an oft-told story.
Yeah.
Rejection, rejection, rejection. It's not always a measure of success. I find a lot of writers are just undiscovered. They're not good at selling themselves, or spend the energy or the time at it. But like you, they stay at it. They love their local audience, and that's that fuels the fire.
And I think you find that in music, you find that sure. in the visual arts. I mean, yeah. a lot of people are really good, but never,
exactly.
quote, make it.
Right, exactly. So that's kind of the fun of this show. I get to introduce myself to some local people who are very talented. Let's go with another poem.
I got a couple of somewhat shorter poems. This one's called Toilet. It's about an experience I had on climbing Mount Shasta. And it's a light poem, but anyway. The last thing I expected, 10,000 feet up on Mount Shasta, in the middle of night, sitting on a toilet, on a bare platform, no walls around me, was joy. Propelled into ice-cold air, I tiptoed around silent tents, exposed to the universe, and perhaps a waking camper, but could not wait. In the moment of immense relief, relief after out-breath of effort, relief that I need do nothing else, a cloud of stars rushed in on me, too countless to count, too countless to wish to count. Absolute quiet amid surrounding mountains, valley unrolling to the south, here and there lights like echoes of the stars. I had never felt so exposed, never so open to whatever opened to me, never felt such tenderness, such desire for nothing else.
Wow. I love how your poems have this local Siskiyou County, North State feel to them. Mount Shasta. Yeah, really very nice. Yeah, so Michelle, let's stick with the local theme here. You have one about Churn Creek, I understand.
Yeah, I like walking at the Lima Ranch, and there's a trail, not the trail that most people use, but a trail that goes right by Churn Creek. I seldom see anybody on that trail, and it kind of follows Churn Creek. So this is a poem about the creek. Churn Creek comes alive after rain, bubbles over rocks, through reeds, eddies around fallen branches, its chatter inviting me to match my pace to its flow. Irresistible invitation, as fallen leaves bob along its bright sunny surface. Like watching the rhythm of waves in hypnotic to and fro with a shore, until a large one riding the back of another crashes to shore, and I feel the reward of the sweeping rush to dry sand I have foreseen. Reward of merging with the flow. But at end of summer, the creek scarcely moves, dead leaves upon it, even sky-blue chicory are gone, and below the tree-shadowed surface, dark boulders, moss-covered, brood in silent stillness. They, too, call to me.
Hmm. So this collection of nature poetry, do you have a title for the book?
I'm playing with the title. I'm thinking the one I've come through lately is Wandering Through the Seasons, maybe Wandering in the Seasons. That's the one I've come up with lately. I may change it. I don't know.
Yeah, and if it's too late to talk about how to find it, but you're going to self-publish sometime soon, you think?
I hope so, within the next couple of months, maybe. The first book is on sale through Amazon, so we'll probably do that again with this book.
Right, right. So, you know, if our listeners are really curious and want to hear you and perhaps some other local poets, what's a good time and place to do this?
Well, we meet every third Wednesday of the month at the Odd Fellows Hall, just down the block from Old City Hall. And we meet other places occasionally, too. Lately, we've been meeting the first Friday of the month for the last 2 or 3 months, and we are meeting again in June. I don't know if it'll go beyond that.
First Friday here at Old City Hall.
At Old City Hall, yes.
Yeah, and when you meet at the Odd Fellows, what time is that, the third Wednesday?
That's 7 to 8:30.
7 to 8:30. Okay, I've been to that a few times. It's a lot of fun. We get a lot of local writers, and they step up and all deliver their wonderful poetry. It's a fun evening. Sharon Bree Solara runs the show, doesn't she?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, if you're listening, you can hear local poets. Old City Hall and the Odd Fellows building, Viva Downtown. Okay, well, hey, let's wrap this up with another poem, and you pick.
Okay.
And while I'm at it, I really appreciate you coming in. It's been a lot of fun.
This is a narrative poem. It's a fairly what trees meant to us when we were kids. We spent our summers for about 10 years in near Glen Ellen, near Sonoma, at a ranch. So this is called Trees. Summers we spent among trees in the Valley of the Moon, and in the beautiful unknowing of children, learned something of their ways. Our play took us to a grand live oak, where we slipped through pricking leaves to a thick branch, low so even the shortest of us could swing up and slide to the trunk. Long, heavy limbs stretched up and out, sometimes connecting with each other in a series of nexuses where each of us had a private nest. We called her Fort Apache, but she was more mother than protector, the only enemy the foes we conjured in our play. Others were forbidding, like the Douglas fir that rose alone from the highest hill, branches so dense we could labor only partway to the top, but also could not fall. Night we'd sleep in the middle of a circle of redwoods, elders of the forest, rising to immense height, to a halo of stars, model of ancient wisdom, bright needles of spring deepening into the summer. We gamboled in the variety of evergreen woods, marveled at its strangeness, gray pine leaning at crazy angles to the sky, sparse branches dropping cones to dry grass, or red papyrus of Madrone Park, huge limbs twisting into odd shapes. We bent branches to inhale the scent of bay leaves or stared at the gnarled shapes of four olive trees planted in a row as if huddled in their strangeness. The only other deviation from random order was the orchard, pear and apple, easy to climb, and a nearby maze of blackberry bushes, paths cut through to ease harvesting. These produced far more than we ate, and we tossed fruit as we did acorns and pine cones, sometimes at targets or sometimes in aimless fun, though we were taught to grab only from the ground. In the shade of one of the oaks was a partly open grave of a petrified tree, white and hard as rock. Our wonder and vague fear, one of many lessons we did not know we were learning from the language of the forest.
Wow, I love it. What's the title of that one?
Trees.
Trees. Yeah. Now, for a while there, I thought that was Lima Ranch, but then you went somewhere else.
No. And most of those trees were at the place where we spent our summers.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's beautiful. Hey, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your poetry.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun and a real nice experience. Yeah. So, folks, you've been listening to KKRN 88.5 Community Radio, and this is Right Stuff, and you've been listening to Michelle Small, my poet guest. And remember, this is listener-supported, so if you want to help us out, we could always use a donation. You just go to kkrn.org and hit that donate button, or there's another way. If you got an old vehicle you want to get rid of, there's careasy.org. That's careasy.org. You go to that site, they'll walk you through it. You can get rid of an old car, a truck, a motorcycle. I hear they even take boats. So easy way to get us much-needed funds. We depend on your loyalty and generosity. Thank you very much.